You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to a Tuesday. It's Hour 1, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Check in with the Green Bay Packers. We'll head to China as well in the final hour of the program. Seems like every year we check in with Jimmer Fredette, the former BYU star. He scored 70 points in a game on Sunday night, Monday morning our time. So we'll check in with Jimmer, say hello to him. Chris Sims on loan from Pro Football Talk will join us coming up here in a little bit. It's hard to believe it's already been a year since we lost Kobe Bryant, that helicopter crash that killed 9 people, including Kobe and his daughter, Gianna. And it happened a year ago today. It was really hard to wrap our heads around it because when we found out the news, it was in the afternoon. We were at the Super Bowl in Miami, and then we went to dinner that night, and it was just one of those somber dinners. We didn't say much. And I think we felt guilty being out and actually having a good time. But we went out as a group. We wanted to plan the show for the week in Miami. And, you know, when you think about Kobe, he was done playing basketball, but he was not done as a businessman. He was so busy in retirement, had multiple projects going, and it looked like he was on the path to an incredible post-NBA career, even won an Oscar for that short film, Dear Basketball. But I think the part that really hit home for me is, you know, when you talk to him, and we talked to him in 2018, and we'll bring back a portion of that interview, but he talked about his daughter's basketball career. He had become her number one cheerleader, and really a number one cheerleader for the women's game. And obviously their loss comes way too soon, and the sports world remembers Kobe and his daughter and everyone who died tragically that day. We still mourn, but we celebrate the incredible force that Kobe was on and off the court. If you're watching on Peacock, and that's our TV partner, we're going to have clips during the commercial breaks. We have archives that we go back and we show. We bring back career moments here. You know, Jerry West talks about Kobe. A variety of people have their thoughts about Kobe Bryant when he passed away. And at the Super Bowl, we were getting thoughts, stories, even Derrick Henry, Michael Irvin, they all had a story about Kobe Bryant. Reggie Miller, our good buddy, had a story about Kobe Bryant. And we'll bring back what Kobe had to say about coaching his daughter and how important it was. But a year ago today that we lost Kobe Bryant. In fact, here's Reggie Miller, and he told us his story about when he talked to Kobe on the phone.
Theodore, a day after, maybe 2 days after that 7-game loss that I had against MJ, Scotty, and the Bulls, he calls me. And we're having a conversation about that game. And, you know, I keep referring to MJ as that black cat. You know, I'm like, that black cat, man. He just kept willing those guys. You know, we had him down. He was struggling, but he kept the pressure on us. And, you know, you remember that move he did? And, you know, it was stone silence on the other end of the phone. He's like, you know what? I'm going to become the caramel cat. What are you talking about? You call him the black cat. I'm going to become the caramel cat. I'm like, what are you talking about, Cole? So it's just funny, like, because I was so upset after that series because I wanted to retire MJ. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, here comes the next MJ that I'm talking to on the phone right here.
That's great stuff from Reggie. He had so many great stories. Plus, you know, Kobe wanted to work out with Reggie, wanted to learn that step back move. And they were doing a MTV Real World show, and they were playing basketball while they were in between shooting. The downtime they were shooting and playing against one another one-on-one. And little did Reg know that Kobe was getting all the information, all the intel on that step back jumper, and then used it against everybody else. After that moment that he spent with Reggie Miller, this is one of those moments that stood out from the. This was April 12th of 2018. That's the last time we spoke with Kobe, and he had this to say about coaching his daughter.
And you never gave any thought to being a coach.
I coach my daughter's team. That's it. That's the extent of it. I coach my daughter's team.
Are you good?
Well, I mean, they're learning, right? I mean, that's the key, right? You want them to learn. We do run the triangle offense.
Oh no!
Yeah, it is, dude. It is the craziest thing in the world. Like, we'll be sitting there, right? We'll be sitting there, and I say, okay, let's come down, let's run a center opposite. No. Top pass is denied. Let's go backdoor step and then dribble weave with the guard coming out of the corner, and they'll go out there and just execute it. Boom.
That's so good. It's so high end. And here it is, 10, 11, 12 year olds. We're going to do a back cut, center opposite. He loved talking about that. So a year ago today, this program is brought to you by SimplySafeDan.com. Everybody wants to keep their homes and their families safe, whether it's from a break-in, flooding, medical emergency. SimplySafe Home Security delivers 24/7 protection. Visit SimplySafeDan.com today. Get a free security camera when you do. I've tried not to overreact to stories. Down through the years, I've learned that sometimes it's wishful reporting. Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it is real. And I was told about Deshaun Watson from the early start of this where it was real. He was really upset and didn't want to stay with the Texans. And I thought, okay, that can be remedied if they hire Eric Bieniemy for the Kansas City Chiefs. And now we've seen reports where it cannot be remedied, that Deshaun Watson wants out. And the question is he going to go to the Jets? Will he go to Miami? What do you give up in return? But that's real. And I try not to fall prey to wishful reporting where you already advance a story. Like Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what is real here. Now you lose. This is one of the more devastating losses that he's ever had because he wins the MVP. He's going to win the MVP. He's at home. He's facing Tom Brady. He can go to the Super Bowl again. And then he loses. And then he wants to process all this. Now, I don't know if he wants out. I don't know if that's what he's saying, that he wants out. Mike Florio had a report that says that he wants a new contract, which makes more sense. And if you look at what he's paid, is he underpaid? I guess. But there are a lot of guys who are overpaid. But Aaron Rodgers is the fifth. This is average new money value. There's so many different ways to look at this. But Mahomes makes 45, Deshaun Watson 39, Russell Wilson 35, and Ben makes 34. Rodgers makes a little under $34 million per year. He's got three more years left, and maybe he says, hey, why don't we restructure this? I'll play for two more years with you, and then you could turn it over to Jordan Love if you want to. I mean, that might be real. I trust Florio with his reporting, but I don't know what's real in this. And that's why we're going to check in with the Packers coming up next hour and talk to one of their reporters, because when Rodgers said it, it was kind of cryptic. And I wasn't quite sure what he was saying in the moment there, where he's going, hey, who knows what the future holds for us? Me included. And I went, he ain't going anywhere. And the Packers aren't ready to turn this over to Jordan Love. Does he want more money? Probably. Is he underpaid compared to the other players? Yes, he is underpaid. But he's got 3 years left. Do the Packers care about renegotiating a contract? Would they actually entertain the idea of Aaron Rodgers going someplace else? What if Aaron Rodgers retires? I don't know. And my job is to sort out fact from fiction. Because I don't want to start today and go, let's look at the destinations where he could go. I don't want to list the teams because that's not fair to the story. Deshaun Watson, you can start listing teams. Matthew Stafford, you can start listing teams. Aaron Rodgers, you're not listing teams. Yes, McLovin.
Today's poll, which team is Aaron Rodgers going to next year? I'll give you five choices. Come on, why are we allowed to list teams?
Nope.
You can't throw that out there and not list the teams.
I know. I apologize for being a buzzkill here. I'm going to be the grown-up in the room and just try to be fair to a story instead of, gosh, I don't have much to talk about on this Tuesday.
The Bears? I mean, any chance for the Bears?
How about we talk about where Aaron Rodgers could end up? until I hear something a little bit more that's concrete, that Aaron Rodgers sees what the future is, doesn't like the future, and he wants out, okay, then we can start talking about destinations. Matthew Stafford, we can talk about destinations. Even Carson Wentz, we don't know. But we certainly wanted to talk about, well, you know where he could end up? The Colts. I don't know how you do it with the money now. Deshaun Watson's got a no trade. But I want to be fair to the story as we try to at least approach it in a way that's respectable to what he said and what is real. I mean, do I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers could end up in the Bay Area again, where he had his college career? Sure, with San Francisco. It's like when Tom Brady was on the market and we looked at the possibility of the Chargers, the Bears, and the Buccaneers. Those were the three teams. That was it. We you know, the Niners were interested a little bit. The Colts were not interested, but we threw out all of these teams. And it really wasn't that long of a list. It was three teams that were interested in Tom and vice versa. That was it. Chargers, Buccaneers, and the Chicago Bears. Yeah, McLovin.
You realize you did it, though. You started having me thinking about him in San Francisco now.
Well, no, they did. They were interested.
Yeah. No, I mean Rodgers, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know, but that's, see, we create these scenarios that we don't even know it's possible. Hey, he could end up, what about the Bay Area? He could go back there. He went to Cal. Yeah. So what happens then? We magically look at the team getting somebody, and then what do they give up in return? Like, what do the Packers do? Oh, we don't care about that. It's Aaron Rodgers could be on the move. I have no idea. And I want to be fair to the story because I don't know if there is a story here. He's frustrated. You just lost. You probably say something that you will look back and say, yeah, probably overreacted. He might look at Tom Brady and go, Brady just got to the NFC, and here he is going to another Super Bowl, and he went to a team that's got a lot of offensive weapons. Boy, you know what would have been nice if we got how about a shutdown corner in the draft? How about a tight end? Maybe another offensive lineman? Maybe you didn't want to draft a wide receiver, but the last thing we needed was a backup quarterback here. You know, you might be angry at that, but I don't know if that means he wants out. But it felt like he was cryptic. He was vague enough for people to go, hey, let's start looking at destinations for Rodgers and where, you know, he could end up. I think he's going to be in Green Bay next year, probably with a new contract and probably restructured. So maybe in 2 years, he leaves, retires, goes to another team, and Jordan Love takes over. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, I'm looking at Rodgers' contract, and it's really complex, but you're right. 2021, he's going to make $37.5 million. But then, because his contract was so front-loaded, he's actually going to make less money in 2022. He's going to make about $32 million. And then in 2023, he's going to make about $29 million. He's going to get less pay for the next few years. And the Packers don't have to renegotiate, but he could do it now and switch up the money. But he will be making less money every year of his career as it goes.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, that this might just be, you know, let me restructure. I want to be paid commensurate to my performance. I'm going to be the league MVP. And this is his last contract here. So that's my starting point here. Not, boy, he wants out. Deshaun Watson wants out. Make no mistake about that. He does want out because I don't think that they can do anything to placate him. Even if it's a hand-picked coach, Eric Bieniemy, I just think he's tired of the organization. And I think that in his mind, he's probably already checked out with the Texans. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I would want out of that organization as well. Because I don't think the future is bright. I think that's a tough, tough job. Who's ever taking over, salary cap issues, J.J. Watt's out the door. You don't have any draft picks. I mean, this is a way, if you trade him, you can get something back. Maybe you get a quarterback there. It's tough to, trade a guy who's one of the top five or seven quarterbacks in the league. He's under contract there, but it might be good for both. They might come to that realization. I don't think the Packers are at the point where they go, you know what, maybe we should part ways with Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't be. He's still plays at a high level. He has not done well in the postseason. We know that. They should have won that game. You know, being at home, they should have won that game. But you don't take advantage of mistakes by Brady. And that's on Aaron Rodgers as well. Also, I have some numbers on if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers had gone for it on fourth down. We checked in with Pro Football Focus, and I thought the numbers were interesting about fourth and goal from the 8-yard line with 2 minutes and 8 seconds to go, three timeouts for both teams. The win probability for the Packers, if they went for it, if they converted fourth down, if they failed to convert, and the win probability of just kicking that field goal. I have those numbers for you. I'll bring those to your attention coming up in a little bit. Also, this certainly caught my eye. You know, when you talk about quarterbacks who could be on the move, I saw this from Adam Schefter. He sent a tweet, and it says, there are roughly 10 quarterbacks locked into starting jobs for opening day of 2021. This is expected to be an unprecedented offseason of quarterback movement. My over-under of teams changing quarterbacks this offseason is 18. And then Shefty goes, I'll take the over. Wow. 18, and he'll take the over. And you start to look at the questions here. Deshaun Watson, he put Aaron Rodgers on there. Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, Mitchell Trubisky, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, Ben Roethlisberger. And then you bring in the new wave of draft picks. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. You got probably five quarterbacks who will go in the first round. They got to go to some team. And then what are you doing? It's almost like you would rather part with an older quarterback sooner than later because let's just take a chance on this quarterback here. I have my doubts about Roethlisberger coming back. Philip Rivers has decided to retire. Drew Brees is probably going to retire. You're going to have a few of these quarterbacks, and some of these quarterbacks who started this year won't be starting next year. It's going to be a big turnover here. We'll check in with Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk. And we'll see what he makes of the Aaron Rodgers situation. Is this maybe a money grab on Aaron's part? Is there true frustration that he doesn't want to stay there? And why would that be? They're going to lose some people, but every team loses people. Coming up on 19 after the hour, just getting started. This is Hour 1, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I'm not going to let age beat me. I'm sort of, you know, like Tom Brady in this business. I've been around a long time, but it's a young man's game. But it takes work. You got to come in. You got to eat right, work out, be prepared. You got to be driven, and I have no plans to slow down. That's why I take a supplement. It's called M-Drive, and it's an everyday supplement for guys like me. You want to stay energized, lean, strong. And it was over 10 years ago. M-Drive was created by an elite scientist, and he made it for himself. You just wanted to fight back against aging. They have so many great products on the website, mdrivedan.com. So how do you feel today? Tired? And you want to lose some weight? You're losing your drive? You want to fight back? Try M-Drive for yourself, an everyday supplement for driven guys. Energy, strength, drive. Go to mdrivedan.com today. You're going to get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't let age beat you. Give it a try, the everyday supplement. Go to mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. It's not just a game, not any game. This Wednesday night, it's hockey. Blackhawks Predators, Wednesday night, 7:30 Eastern on NBCSN. McLovin, you have a poll question.
Well, I don't know if you're going to allow me to do it, but it's which Hall of Famer is most likely to be at a different place week one of next year? Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, who else should I put on this list? But if you don't want, you're saying that we shouldn't jump to conclusions, even though I so desperately want to. What's a fair question?
I want to be fair to the story. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants out. It feels like he may, obviously frustrated, maybe just wants a new contract. Maybe they restructure it. Maybe it's beneficial for both sides, the Packers and him, and he gets paid commensurate to the performance he turned in this year, being the MVP. Here is the percentages. Pro Football Focus. Fourth and goal from the 8-yard line, 2 minutes and 8 seconds to go, three timeouts for both teams. Packers win probability if they go for it is 11%. Packers win probability if they convert on fourth down is 31%. Packers win probability if they fail to convert is 5%. Their win probability if they kick the field goal is 7%. I would have gone for it, and I said it in the moment I would have gone for it, because I have Aaron Rodgers, and this is the best red zone offense this year that we've ever seen in the last 20 years since they start keeping those stats. I'm going to have confidence in him. I didn't like the play calling with first, second down, but I would have gone for it and then taken my chance with a two-point conversion. Worst case scenario, we don't get it. I got Brady maybe at the 5-yard line. Maybe we get the ball back. We still have to score a touchdown, no matter what. It feels like there are better scenarios going for it than not going for it. It's the story that won't go away. Neither will Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, former NFL quarterback. I didn't even invite him on. He just showed up. I just looked up, and there he is, zooming in. How long do you think we stay with the scenario with the Packers there with 2 minutes to go inside the 10?
Well, I don't think it's going to die down this week, you know, especially with no game to look forward to this weekend. There's going to be two moments in that game that will be scrutinized, I think, throughout the week from talking heads like you and I. I mean, first off, yes, that moment, you explained it perfectly, I thought. I'm with you 100%. I was watching the game with my little boy, Philip, and we both looked at each other and went, what? They're kicking a field goal? You know, we were shocked. I understand it's a good Buccaneers defense. I understand they held them to a field goal in the first half one time down there. But also remember, Devontae Adams dropped a touchdown pass on the left side. And like you said, yeah, it's a great red zone offense, and it's Aaron Rodgers. And you go down swinging with your best punches. And, you know, I'm sorry, Green Bay's defense is not the best punches. It's Aaron Rodgers. That's why you were there.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out. If he knew on third down, if you don't get it, we're kicking the field goal. Like that's what I'm really curious about, Chris, because he should have known. What if he ran and they went down to the two? Are they still kicking the field goal no matter what? Because it feels like you have to have two plays called in that moment.
Yeah, I would think so. I think he explained it pretty good after the game, Matt LaFleur, and just saying, hey, the 8 yards was too much. But, you know, where I would argue and go, I know it's too much. Yeah, okay, but all right, 8-yard line, four-yard line. Hey, I'll tell you, as an ex-quarterback, if you gave me one play from the four or one play from the eight, I'd rather have him from the 8-yard line to have a little more room on the field to throw the ball and maybe stress their defense instead of being on the 2 or 3-yard line and crammed in there. So it was a tough decision. I get that. I understand it. But I think the reasons you laid out there and the fact that, man, we've seen Tom Brady close out games, what, 7 million times before?
Yeah.
I think those two reasons alone would have made me go for it.
Yeah, it's one thing I got Rodgers. The other thing, I'm going to turn the ball over to Tom Brady. It just doesn't make any sense. I know you and Florio talked about this today on Pro Football Talk Live. How real is this Aaron Rodgers story, or what is real about this Aaron Rodgers story?
I don't know if there's anything real as far as like him wanting to leave town or anything like that. I don't know. He's just I'm more of the, you heard me if you were watching the show today, he's frustrated. Yes, he's sick of carrying the team. He's sick of the team never going all in to support him. And then here we are, you know, on the Tuesday after another big loss for Rodgers, and everybody just blames him. You know, I watch a lot of the shows yesterday, and it's just, oh, Rodgers can't get over the hump. Rodgers choked. And I want to be like, what? I mean, he was the best player on the team out there. He made one mistake the whole game. So I'm sure he is frustrated. I expect to see him back with Green Bay, but I'd also expect him to kind of continue to mess with them and flex his power on them a little bit too, which I understand.
But is this a money grab, though? This is just, why don't you restructure? Could it be beneficial for both parties here, restructuring a deal for Rodgers, knowing that Jordan Love is the quarterback in waiting?
Well, that's where I was going to go with that right there, because that's where it really comes down to. I mean, one, hey, I want to say, like, well, if you're not going to give him receivers, then give him the leftover money and let him have it, okay? All right? And then the other aspect of that is, yes, I think you kind of laid it out right there. He wants to be able to call his own shots. And right now, I think he feels like, wait, they drafted a quarterback and – they're just kind of laying in the weeds for the right moment to where, ooh, I don't have a great year or whatever that is, to now they're going to go, oh, we're going to change to Jordan Love and do that. So he probably, if he does want this contract extension or more money, it's more to solidify, wait, I'm going to be the one that dictates how this ends and when I want to leave or if I leave and all that. But still, we're going to sit here 2 days after the NFC Championship game, and I'm still going to tell you that Jordan Love pick at the end of the first round was the dumbest pick of last year's NFL draft. There's no other way to say it. You got a quarterback who's one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. You go all in right now. The 1977 grooming the quarterback for the future story is over. We left it back in 1977. Rookie quarterbacks now can come in and be among the best quarterbacks in the game. So I'm just, that still bothers me too.
Yeah, it's like Tommy Maddox being drafted and you have John Elway. You don't need to do that. Deshaun Watson feels real, though, Chris. It feels like that they've reached that point of there's no turning back here. Now, I guess, do you agree with me on that?
I do agree with you. Okay. Yes, I do. I've heard from the start that it was teetering very close to that. You know, I have heard the rumors even before it broke publicly that, you know, he had his eye on a place like Miami and things like that from people I know in the situation. But I do think it's very real. And I do think that ultimately he'll ask to get out of there.
Okay. But what do you give up if you're the Jets with the number two pick overall? How much is enough? How much is too much? Or is there something, a scenario that's too much for Deshaun Watson?
Well, I mean, it's going to take at least three first-round picks, right? I mean, I don't think you can really even start the conversation at least at any lower than that. Jamal Adams, Khalil Mack, Jalen Ramsey, all those trades got two first-round picks. We're talking about Deshaun Watson, quarterback. We know that the importance of that, and a top-five quarterback in football at that, who's at the start of the prime of his career. And, you know, we could have this guy for the next 10, 12, 15 years. So there's great value in that. To me, Dan, a team like the Jets, I know it's awesome to have Deshaun Watson and do all that. But, man, are you going to trade the farm away just to what? Go 4-12 with Deshaun Watson and, like, have the same scenarios that he's got down with the Houston Texans?
Wait, you wouldn't trade for him if you're the Jets?
I would think a little bit. I wouldn't. It's not a slam dunk to me. No, I would have two things going through my mind. Whoa, I have so many damn holes on my team. How am I going to fill these? We need offensive linemen, running back, receivers. We have no pass rushers. Our secondary's average as hell. So they have a lot to work to do there. And now you're going to trade away all these assets to fill those holes? I would think twice about that. And certainly a Joe Douglas who comes from Philadelphia and Baltimore, he wants to build through the draft. That's how those teams were built. So I would. And then here's the second thing that pops into my mind just with this scenario. You know, Ryan Tannehill with the Miami Dolphins would pop into my mind to go, wait, what if the Dolphins had kept Ryan Tannehill and used a top five pick on trading down to get more players or a top receiver or whatever last year's draft? All those things would jump out to me. And I would honestly be scared a little if I'm Deshaun Watson to go to a place like New York, even though I might like the head coach, to go there and go, man, we got a lot of work to do with this roster. I don't think that's necessarily appealing either.
Well, if I'm the Texans, and I know that he's got a no trade, but I want to trade with a team that's a perennial, historically bad, because I want to make sure those draft picks are good that I'm going to get. If I'm trading with the Colts, they're going to be picking 27th. I don't want that. I want Washington or the Jets. I don't know who else you could trade him to, because he's going to have to want to go there. So that I would love if I trade him to the Jets, I'm pretty safe in assuming I'm going to get some decent picks, top 15 picks for a couple of years.
Yeah, well, you're probably right about that. Yes. But the other thing is, like you said, you're going to get the great draft picks. Deshaun's going to have to sign off on it. And hey, listen, if he's willing to sign off on a team like that, good for the Houston Texans. And you go and you run with that deal. I really thought all along, though, it would be a team more that's kind of set up in a lot of ways and feeling comfortable about their roster as a whole and saying, wait, we're really close. We just need a quarterback now to kind of push us over the edge. I thought we would see more of that type of team involved in this, maybe like in New England, maybe like the San Francisco 49ers and some other teams like that. That, to me, I felt like fit the mold of the Deshaun Watson trade more than, you know, the team that's in a total rebuild mode.
He's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, former NFL quarterback. Adam Schefter had a tweet. He says that he thinks that the over-under of teams changing quarterbacks this offseason is 18. And then he says, I'm going with the over. If we just run down the list here of teams that are going to change their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of turnover here.
It's
over half the league. It feels like you got some named quarterbacks who aren't going to be starting quarterbacks. You got probably four, maybe five quarterbacks drafted in the first round this year.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of turnover, Chris.
I think we're going to see, I think the lights have gone on in the NFL that, wait, we don't like have to go all in on our quarterback all the time. There's a lot of good ones out there. The Jared Goff and his paying $33 million, I think, has opened up a lot of people's eyes in football, too, to go, wait, if we just build a good team and we have a good quarterback, we don't have to have a superstar quarterback. We can be competitive in the mix of things. But, yeah, Dan, I mean, when you just look at it, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Carolina, San Francisco, Chicago, the Rams, we'll see where that goes. That's still up in the air. Washington. That's just the NFC. New Orleans, we know, other than Atlanta, that like all those teams could possibly have different quarterbacks. So it is going to be an intriguing offseason and a lot of musical chairs.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger with Pittsburgh.
Right.
We assume Dak Prescott is going to, you know, re-sign with Dallas there. New England, they're going to be in the market for a quarterback here. Man, that's a big turnover there. Big turnover.
It definitely is.
The Buffalo Bills' future is what?
It's still bright. I mean, on the right path. Have a lot of the cake is built, right? They just need some icing now. That's where I look at it. The cake is built. It's really good. I like it. It's delicious. Wait, can we improve the icing? And what I mean by that is, like, they need – you could see there was a difference in the look between them and the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday night, right? It just looked like it in their uniforms and then the speed of the field. They are missing a few studs on each side of the ball. They need a top-tier running back or at least a legitimate bell cow running back. I also believe they need one more legit receiver. You know, listen, John Brown, he didn't get open very much towards the end of the year. They need another guy to be a complement to Stephon Diggs. And then on the defense, you see, I think they need another clever corner and a pass rusher, something like that. But it's just a few draft picks and a free agent signing, some splash signings. And I think that Buffalo is going to be a force to be reckoned with here for a few years.
When do you make your Super Bowl pick?
Well, I picked the Chiefs to start the year. I'm not going against the Chiefs. I don't give a damn if NBC wants me to wait for my podcast or not. I can't pick against the Chiefs.
Can you bet against Brady?
It's hard to. It is hard to. But I think I've just gotten to the point where in these type of games, I got to see the Chiefs lose them before I pick against them. And as much as I respect Brady and I love the Bucks, they have a special place in my heart. I think just my football acumen wants to say, no, I still favor the Chiefs. Scary, though. Close matchup.
I can pick against Brady. I can't bet against Brady. I don't know. I just feel – I've been there too many times where you go, you know, maybe they shouldn't win this game or they won't win this game. And then they win this game. The last couple of weeks, I mean, you're not – I thought they were going to lose in Green Bay.
Well, he did every – listen, that's one thing that's not being talked – I mean, he did everything to try to lose it. I mean, that was almost.
Have you ever thrown three picks and a half?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yes, I have, definitely.
I don't think. Paulie, check and see if Sims has thrown three
picks. I think I did it in the Big 12 championship against Colorado, just to let you right out there. So I didn't even have to wait to the NFL before I did it. I did it in college, all right?
But as NFL quarterback, has Brady done something that you haven't done, and that is throw three picks and a half?
I think you could be onto something. I don't know if I have. I don't think I did throw three and a half. I think I've had three in a game, four in a game, but I don't think I got three and a half. So, yeah, I got something on him.
And definitely not three consecutive drives.
No, not three consecutive drives. Certainly not. He's amazing. What Brady did for them in that game, I don't look at, great drive to get the field goal at the end. The big thing to me was for a young football team who had not been in that situation, it's how he started the game was the importance. He gave everybody the confidence to be like, wait, we belong here. We can win. This is good. And all those third down big time throws he made, that to me is why you got Tom Brady. And he was special. He's not, as we talked about during the year, he's not going to carry the squad in the fourth quarter like he once could. But he's still really damn good, and man, can he throw that football still.
Yes, Paulie.
Dan, not only has Chris Sims never thrown three picks in an NFL game in his career, Chris Sims has only 18 career interceptions. Tom Brady has 191, way less.
You're so much better than Brady.
It's not even close. I knew it. Damn, why did I retire?
does Aaron Rodgers have more interceptions than Chris Sims does?
Oh, totally, like 75 more.
Man, I know. What am I doing? I got out too early.
Nobody needs to know that you didn't play that long, Chris. It's just you have fewer interceptions than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to start using that. I'm going to start using that. Thanks, Dan Etz. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live, co-host, former NFL quarterback. We will take a break. We got our play of the day up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Here comes Jaden McDaniels. Edwards down the lane. Ooh. Oh! Anthony Edwards.
Yo.
Elevated and hammered.
That was a mistake. No one's on him, and he just gets a running start and gets up so high. Wiseman, welcome to my poster.
Anthony Edwards puts the second overall pick, James Wiseman, on a poster last night. Wiseman got the last laugh. Warriors went on to win by 22. Edwards leads all rookies, averaging just over 12 points per game despite coming off the bench. That's courtesy of NBA TV. That's your play of the day, and it's brought to you by M-Drive. It's the supplement I take every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science help you get you energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Brett Favre had a comment on Aaron Rodgers and the possibility of him maybe leaving Green Bay. Here is the Hall of Fame quarterback on Aaron Rodgers.
There's no way the Packers would do anything to jeopardize losing Aaron. Unless Aaron just chooses to retire, which I would be shocked. The guy's playing better now than he's ever played. Without him, you certainly wouldn't have been even close to where you were yesterday.
Well, they did draft a quarterback in the first round. And just like they did to Brett Favre, they drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Other than that.
Yeah. And Brett Favre had a comment on what the Jacksonville Jaguars should do with the number one overall pick. Get ready for this one.
I don't know if Jacksonville, in my opinion, I don't know if quarterback is their immediate need. I would take Devontae Smith. The last two games I've watched this guy play, I mean, I'm blown away with how good. Knowing that teams know that he's going to get the ball and he dominates, this guy can be a Jerry Rice. He can be different, but a Randy Moss, a total game changer. But again, a different style of player, but just an incredible player.
I like Devontae Smith, but I talked to a source who's a scout who says he likes Ja'Marr Chase, the LSU wide receiver, better than Devontae Smith. There's nobody who says, I like Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson, Mac Jones. Jacksonville's not set at quarterback here. And you may not get this chance for quite some time. Now, it is Jacksonville, and you might be the worst team in football again next year, but to get a player like Trevor Lawrence, I think you can get Devontae Smith, but you can't get Trevor Lawrence. Devontae Smith is a wonderful player, but there will be questions about him. Durability, can he be a number one wide receiver? But that's my second draft pick. That's my second first round pick would be with Devontae Smith. I would not want to be spending the number one. You got to get a quarterback, and then you build around him. You have a 5-year window. That's what it'll be for Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer will look at this as a 5-year window. If he coaches longer than 5 years, I'll be shocked. But 5 years, I got my quarterback, we got some money to spend, we got some draft picks, we haven't done anything crazy. That's what you do, that's how you build a team. You don't build a team with Devontae Smith as your number one overall pick. You just don't. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, this sounds like taking a kicker in the second round. You don't draft a receiver number one overall. I mean, I actually, as you talk about it, I wonder, do you even want Devontae Smith in the top five? Because there's going to be other star receivers later where there you have to get that.
Yeah, I want a bargain. I want, you know, Justin Jefferson fell to Minnesota. And what was he, the fifth wide receiver taken? There's so many of these wide receivers. It depends on the system that they're going to be in. Who's their quarterback, their offensive coordinator? How's the offensive line running game? There's so much that goes into this. You can't just go, I mean, Jerry Rice was not highly regarded coming into the draft, 4'6", 40, but he had Joe Montana and he had Steve Young and he had a brilliant offensive mind in Bill Walsh and George Seifert. That helps. Jerry was a wonderful player and one of the greatest of all time. You need to have those. If Jerry went to the Cleveland Browns, he's not Jerry Rice. He might have been a perennial All-Pro. He's not Jerry Rice. Yeah, Paul.
I don't think that Favre is going to get a lot of GM offers based off this latest analysis. If he's looking to get back in the mix.
You know, I'm thinking about being a GM. Well, what are some of your opinions? Well, I take Devontae Smith, number one overall.
Punter, priority.
Man, okay. Of course.
You drafted 7 wide receivers this year.
Yeah, but one of them's going to be Jerry Rice. Yeah, McClellan.
He can build a backyard football team. He get Lou, his neighbor, and jeans.
Well, that's the problem, though. Favre has Jerry Rice on his team, and they're going against the neighbors.
Well, they're all wearing Wranglers, though.
I mean, come on.
Nobody can move.
Yeah, of course.
He likes Gardner Minshew because he owns jean shorts.
I mean, Favre should put Rice on the other team. That's not fair.
Stacking the deck.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna have a pickup game. Are you taking Jerry Rice again? Of course.
Here's my running back, Amon Green. He's on my team. What?
Wait, you got Troy Polamalu on defense? Of course.
Of course.
We'll check in with the Green Bay Packers coming up. Settle on our poll question. Well, did you go with the poll question you wanted to go with, McClellan?
I went even worse. It's Aaron Rodgers related, and you're going to hate it. But I'll tell you what it is at the top of the hour, because I don't want to annoy you going into break.
And more athletes give their thoughts on the passing of Kobe Bryant a year ago today. Have more of those coming up. 1 hour in the books. 2 more to go on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Close out the first hour with Discovering Discover. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that's shaped like cash, so you already know there's money inside before opening it up. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. Cashback match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter